This is how much we know about movies. We just, this, if you want a raw review of movies, you're getting it right here because we don't know shit.
Dad!
Oh, fuck, I don't know, man. Is that like nostalgia purposes for kids these age?
I don't give a shit. I don't care.
We get that, Pop.
Fine, I'll Google it. Through the magic of podcasting.
I mean, you don't
have
to Google it. I'm just saying, just take it out.
No, no.
Not bring it out, or just be better prepared.
Now I'm going to shut your fucking mouth.
I am your father.
Man, sometimes I wish, like, things would stay at a simpler time mentality.
Welcome to the Two Dads Review Podcast. Man, we got the kids, this new, like, the new summer toy this year for, like, outdoor play. It's called FOMO, and it's fucking cool, except it's not too bad, but then, like, each thing of soap that you put in, because it's big, you put a big old thing of soap in a big bucket, and you put more water in there with that, and then you turn on a pump, and it puts it in front of a blower, and then makes just, like, a mountains of foam in the yard, and the kids run around, and sometimes your son may ride a small, short bike through the foam, get lost in the foam, and then breathe the foam in, and then vomit on your driveway. But, I mean, that's kind of hyper-specific. I'm not really sure who that would have happened to. I was like, didn't you warn your sister specifically to not do that? Like,
He's gonna be one of those great fathers. It's do as I say, not as I do.
Right. And not even on purpose. Just like, oh God, don't do that, kids.
Yeah.
It was funny though. So that's like the new, it's so new, like there isn't hacks to like how to do the soap without buying their $20 a shot bottle. And like all it's, you know, the it's decent. It's cool because it's like yard safe. It's like plant safe and shit. Because usually pouring soap on your yard is not a good idea. But so you got to figure out, you know, whoever does all the cool hacks of that shit will figure out like what is close to it, that kind of stuff. So I don't know. It was fun. So our video's up though. That's good. Everybody can go check it out now. They can go check out the old Two Dads React YouTube channel. Just search for that. It's right there. I tell you, it's on our, you know, I tweet about it and stuff. You guys can find it. But yeah, I know some of y'all checked it out because we had plenty of watches last week. So we put episode 3 out. It was not nearly as long as last episode. So don't worry. The last episode, we were talking about a bunch of stuff during it. But this one, we were kind of like, there were long chunks of us like just watching exposition happen.
We're doing the podcast now?
We can be. Are you recording?
Oh, I've been recording, but it was just so funny. Like we were on foam machines, and then you literally like got silent for 2-3 seconds, maybe.
I googled
foam party machine powder pack thing that I saw real quick, and then next thing I know, you're like da 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 da, and I was like, Is he introing into to the podcast right now? I was like, I mean, maybe he gave me like the old, like a, you know, nose fucking point or some shit real quick. I didn't see it, but I was like, oh, no, he swung it all in. We're going. So, hey, what's up?
Have we not been doing this long enough that we just roll into it? They know what they're
doing.
Yeah, but
normally it's kind of like we fade in like our normal talk and we're like, yeah, I guess we should start talking about the fucking show because now we've ran out of things to talk to each other with. But like this one was just like foam, dot, dot, dot. And Two Dads Review. So I had like the way you started it was, you know, so I got the podcast and I thought we were about to talk about the podcast and then like the YouTube portion of it a little bit. Right. But like you just segued right into everything. I was like, oh, this is like live. Like I got to tab back over to this shit. Like
this is like, wait, oh, this is for real.
Yeah. Oh, I did not realize he turned the green light on. Let's go.
I need an on-air mm-hmm. light behind me that I turn on so you know when I'm ready.
Right, you just have like a nice little red light comes on over you and I'm like, oh, it's go time. Yeah.
It's Cone of Silence. Here we go.
Right.
So episode 3, the podcast is happening. Hold on. Probably my least favorite of the episodes so far. And it's not necessarily anything bad about it. There was a blatant there's definitely, as you're watching it, especially the stuff with the Flag Smashers, where I believe they had to repurpose some footage and cut a whole section out, because I don't think this was originally about a super serum, or at least that was part of it. I think there was like a plague, not plague, but like a viral, that Nagel guy. I think he originally was like making a virus, and Disney was like, you know, we wrote this. It was not pandemic times yet. And I think we're going to have to repurpose stuff. So like, as you watched it, you noticed like a few times where they made like comments about the super serum and things like that. People had gotten up and walked away and their face wasn't towards camera. And I was like, oh, that's sneaky. And the main giveaway was like the lady that the Flag Smasher, Carly, was, you know, holding hands with, and she, as she was dying or whatever, that's like a major actress. Like, it's not just like some extra they hired to lay in a bed. Like, that's someone who's, I don't know her name. She's not major enough for me to know who she is, but I do know that
then she's not major, because if they were a major actor or actress, like, let's face it, you would know their name. This may be somebody that we recognize from our longevity of TV shows that you watch, or they may be in like some movie at some point where they were 2% importance of that film.
Right.
But yeah, like, who is it? I know you're looking it up, because now I want to hear the name and be like, no fucking way it's that person. Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be like, name 10 movies they've been in, because I have no idea who you're talking about.
Veronica Falcone. And she has been in... Oh, is that who that is? Yeah, okay, so she was in Perry Mason. I have seen her in something. She was in Perry Mason. She was also in...
Do you realize what you just said?
Not the old Perry Mason, the new one that was on Showtime. It was on one of the pay channels.
I was like, you might want to clarify. Like, I know she was supposed to be dying in this show, but most people from Perry Mason are dead in real life.
It looks like she was a major Hispanic actress, because a lot of her stuff is in Spanish, not in English. But
okay,
anyways.
So she may be a big international star, but right. At no point is her shit getting cut in an American Disney film of any consequence.
True.
Okay, but I'm saying, when you say big actor, like, I'm thinking, oh shit, like, dude, like, who the fuck are they cutting that they brought? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, who they brought in that they were like, damn, dude, this pandemic hit and we really have to rewrite this stuff. Like, we cannot use it right now. Sorry, here's your $8 million. Like, donate to charity for Goodwill, please, or something, right? And go off. Like, I mean,
I'm sure that actress sucks
because this was probably a. Could have been a bigger American TV international kind of debut-esque thing, you know, and then all of a sudden you start noticing her in more and more kind of films or, you know, something like that, right? You're just like, oh, I remember kind of when you were like getting talked about, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we may get flashbacks. I think it says right now she's in episode 4, so we may get some flashbacks, because I mean, she died by the end of the show, right? Like, the end of this episode, they said something about her dying, right? When they were
sitting out front. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, like, the last time she was, like, there was basically, like, the final goodbye kind of thing.
Right.
And she was like, adios, I'm out.
Yeah, so we'll probably see her some next week for flashbacks or something. I guess next week, considering... So we had them introduce Ayo from Wakanda at the very end, so we know that she's there looking for Zemo. So
yeah, I like ladies with short hair to begin with, and like ones that just kind of appear out of nowhere that are like smoking hot, but also at the same time, like, you know, could fuck you up. Like, that's the kind of dangerous area I'm willing to live in.
Like, I would like to be hurt.
I would like for you to let me do terrible things to you.
I want you to voluntarily do terrible things to me. That's what you're saying, right?
Basically. I just want terrible things to each other, and then we just rolled over and patted our bald heads. I was like, good job. All right, I'm going to go save the world, and you're going to fix the house up. I'm like, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Very little John Walker this week. We had his scene after the GRC commercial, which you thought was a real commercial.
Yeah, dude, they come in so, hey, here's this new drug. Like, and then I'm just waiting for a rattled off list of side effects. I'm like, oh, this actually isn't the show. No, but it is.
Oh, shit, I should have been paying attention. I should have just been tuning out like I do when I see commercials roll up anyways.
Mm-hmm.
The main part about the commercial to start and followed up by the conversation that Carly has later on the episode about being kicked out on the street is that when half of the world disappears, and you mentioned it in our reaction video, like people were possibly being people who didn't have homes were possibly allowed to be in homes, or there wasn't any sort of like monitoring of squatter type situations, because they're like, hey, at least you're like, you know, keeping the place moving and you know, it's not flooding and shit, you know, if you're paying the electric and whatever, hey, whatever. There seems to be some sort of like, we don't know, and they've alluded to it in different scenarios, like how the world, you know, borders changed, things got absorbed and things got split and countries aren't anymore, and there were probably less countries and the world was working together better, hence the whole point of the Flag Smashers being like, hey, we should go back to the way the world was during the blip, because everybody like stopped fighting and went, oh shit, half of us are gone, maybe we should all like, you know, work together and make things better.
Yeah, it's I wish there was some kind of, I don't know, like instead of spinning up the Marvel credits, like give me a old school fucking Stark
newsreel.
Like, you know, here's what happened during the blip.
Uh-huh.
And like, and it's all, you know, you see rockets and blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden you see like map lines move and things, you know, and whatnot. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. That makes perfect sense. But yeah, I mean, if half of society gets disappeared, basically, right? Like, because we're still waiting to figure out where that other end of the magic trick, you know? It's like, you just went somewhere, which we'll probably figure out that everybody got, like, zapped up into, like, some cosmic space dust that is, like, the multiverse, right? And they're just like, well, there was no place for you, so you just, particles were floating around in this bullshit. That's what makes it all happen. Or whatever, right? They'll explain it away in some nifty kind of fucking way. But
right,
yeah, like few uber rich people get through, like they're gonna buy up fucking real estate, like they own banks, they're gonna go, well, I want my mortgages still coming in, so let's find people that need homes and
that'll pay shit for it. Yeah,
they'll pay for it. Like, so I imagine there was kind of like in real life when the bubble popped with the market. In this case, it was, oh shit, and with if what the Flag Smashers kind of have alluded to was it was a global economic situation and thing at that point, then you had like world rules, right? You know, international law and stuff like that. So what is to say when people come back that they're like, fuck that, I don't believe right into that shit. And then you got people that were there and they're like, yeah, hey, fuck you, homie. Like, it's been 5 years.
It's been working.
You know?
Right.
So.
Well, two things. One, I'm with you, and we've said this for months. There needs to be either a movie or a series about the blip from the snap to the return. Like, you know, 6-part miniseries, like these things that where you get to see the people who left, like when you blip out in your car and the bad shit that happens, or when you blip back in to your plane if it was in the air, but you don't cut, you know, the rules of the blip. And then what, then also, like, I'm with you, the socioeconomic and political and the, you know, the structure of the world during that time with half of humanity gone. Second thing, it doesn't need to be a Stark newsreel. It needs to be Lewis from Ant-Man doing the recap, doing his like his story where he would do the whole like, and you know Lewis the guy.
Nope. So
Michael Pena's character.
Okay. Yeah.
The way he tells his stories. Everybody was always joking before Endgame they should have done like a 5-minute like recap of all the Marvel movies using his storytelling.
Yeah, that would be fun.
But yeah, so that's there definitely they're giving us glimpses into it. They did it with WandaVision. They're doing it a little bit here with the conversations. But I want to see the details of during the blip. That'd be very cool.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's just it's too much of the way the show is going in every aspect. Like you're gonna just hit this finite wall with the situation of some sort, and it's either you're just gonna go, I'm going to do it the easy way, and it's just heroes versus bad guys in this one case, and then everyone will kind of just fucking forget about it and go about their business, right? Or you actually have to have, like, the, well, I came home today, dear, and there was, you know, the Chang family.
The family that owns this
right?
house.
Like, you know, you're like, that was cool, or like, I don't know, parents got blipped away, kids moved in, you know, kind of shit. Or, like, did they maintain family houses? Were they, like, you know, if there's a descendant that can claim this house and at least just not have it fucking fall over.
Right.
You know, we're at a maintenance, you know, kind of level at that point, right? Because even if they were just like, everybody gets a home, okay, cool. But then you got to be like, all right, everybody gets a job, okay, cool. Well, everybody gets an education now. Okay, cool. You see where I'm fucking going, people? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Are we going political already?
Just fuck, man. People deserve healthcare. People deserve education. Every fucking body does. Everybody deserves a goddamn livable wage to buy a house. This show is telling you the way that things are going because of the number of fucking people we have is not the way to go about it. Okay, I'm done.
Socialism is not communism. Everybody say it all together. Socialism is not communism. They're not stripping any of your rights. They're expanding everyone else's. Relax. Don't worry. There's no people from the right to listen to our show. Not after our
rants. That's why you lost an all-star game, you cunts.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, so I'm with you. There needs to be some sort of blip show in the future. Not anywhere, not doesn't be right now, but I mean they are going into it just enough that I'm like, okay, if you guys start talking about it too much, you're going to have to actually start setting up the rules of what happened during it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they've said
it will depend on how, like you said, if there was the thing where this wasn't the super serum and it was actually Homeboy was making a disease to kill off the less than physically fit to survive it, right? You know, just to lower the populace. But, you know, blip happened. He got zapped out. It was kind of like, why do I need it anymore? Everybody's gone. But then he came back and it's like, well, now everybody's fucking here again. So I think they just, you may be right. I don't know, because we'll have to watch the rest of the show, because really, like, you know, depending on how good the PR crew is, will they... I mean, obviously it's going to be a super serum, but is it going to be so much of like a reshoot redo kind of thing that you just notice with the way the cuts are or like the way the conversation is? You're like, yeah, that eight words makes sense. But the last half of it, like it's one of those things that just disappears. You know, you never get the other end of it. And you're just like, oh, okay. So that was probably a real reshoot or something. Right. But
right.
I hope it just is.
I think it'll just be like we saw this episode, like the exposition. I think the reshoot was when they were standing in front of that gate and talking about the situation we're talking about right now, and they mentioned the tuberculosis and shit like that. I think that those they were doing, and she had a hood on the whole time, and you could just see part of her hair. It was a reshoot because they had to either put her in a wig or whatever, for whatever she was in. So, I don't know. It was something that I saw online. I was like, oh, that sucks. Reshoots always worry me in movies. I think ever since Justice League, reshoots bother me. It just does.
Yeah, but that's also like a one-off situation. Like how many times has there been a movie that has basically been 90% done and then they hired somebody else who is of equal caliber director, but in a kind of different way of filming, right? Like a little more fun-lovey, bright-colored shit where this thing was already cut, like, with the grain and just gritty right. The whole fucking way, right? And I hope for your future that is now not your baseline of like reshoots and stuff, because
right.
You'll be living in a world of conspiracy in your own mind for the rest of your life with it.
Yeah, I don't need any more of those. That's for sure. Let's see. Let's touch on new Captain America real quick, because we only saw him for a few minutes.
But they do a really good job of painting him. Like, you already know what this dude's gonna be. Like,
yeah,
he's basically everyone in Georgia that we were fucking talking about. Like, that's what he is. That is right. How he's gonna come off. It's gonna come off as America, but only this way. And it's gonna be like, yo, Cap, that's not America, my man. Like, everybody's right. Gonna be like, what? Like, and it's gonna be one of those like in the crowd things, and you're gonna see the realization kind of bullshit.
He was already saying at the end of the conversation with Lamar about, you know, the means or the ends justify the means.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, you don't, that's not Cap, bro. That's mm-hmm. not how Steve used to do it. And also on the first scene when they're breaking into the guy that sheltered the flag smashers. And this is a good lesson for all folks who are placed in a leadership role, but you know deep down inside that you're not a leader, that the people are only having to follow you because you were put in that position. If you have to demand folks treat you, respect you for what you are, if you have to ask and demand for the respect, then you are not a leader. And so the minute he threw that guy against the wall,
do you fucking know who I am?
Yeah. Also, when you do that, don't let your voice crack like a little girl. That's the, like, what did you do? Did you just hit puberty there, buddy? Do you know who I am? It's like, dude, what's wrong with you, man?
I wonder how many like cigarettes he smoked like off stage, because he just got like the great idea. He's like, dude, I'll go in there with it raspy. I bet you it'll fucking crack, and it'll just like, lo and behold, in the IMDb historical facts, right? It'll right. tell you like, smoked a half a pack before that fucking scene just to sound like the proper douche. You're like, man, well, I hated you for so long. Sorry, Kevin Bacon, but Jesus. Yeah.
Well, the worst part is, and you're going to hate this because I know this drives you nuts, and this is what we bitch and moan on this podcast about fan bases all the time. So how you and I are talking about the character that Wyatt Russell is playing. We're talking about hating John Walker and how Wyatt Russell is doing a fantastic job of making this completely douchey, blown head, you know, asshole that we're loving to hate right now on screen. That's the way you're supposed to handle things in your nerd realm. Now, to all the people out there on the internet who were fucking shooting Wyatt Russell death threats and shit and being pissed off at Wyatt Russell, the human being, you're a human piece of fucking trash. All of you fucking suck. You're what's wrong with the fucking nerds in this world. You need to stay in your mom's basement.
With everybody in the world.
You're what's wrong with everybody in this world in general.
Shit that has nothing to do with you.
for you to not be able to determine between make believe and reality proves to me why you also voted for Trump, because you're a piece of shit. So for just those people who did that are the worst kind of people in this entire fucking world. And it's shit like this that like for you to have to leave. So for him to be like, I'm leaving social media because I can't handle it right now. It's like, you know, you've already done the job. The worst part is like, if this is the only time he plays Cap in the whole MCU, like this was his introduction and exit from the MCU was like death threats and you're a piece of shit. Like, no, you're a you're a fantastic actor and you're making a great job.
Yeah. Like that,
but
is
he's forever going to have a scar on
to, I don't know, because he's acted in so many other ways, right? Like, I mean, just watching him in like Lodge 43, it's basically the counter opposite of that. Like, he's, I help everybody, I love everything, like just totally super loosey goosey. Like, I'm on a mission of, you know, inner enlightenment and blah, blah, blah. And it's like super duper fucking awesome. But yeah, like that just goes to show his acting prowess. I mean, if you can go in and like watch him from a show and go, man, I fucking love you. And then watch him be a person that you should look at and not like. You know, like if you look at this Captain America and you're like, that's my fucking dude, you got some goddamn problems. Like,
right, right. So we run across this stuff with every show, almost every show that we talk about on this podcast. And it bugs me to no end that people can't separate the actor from the character they're playing. And it worries me about humanity, to be honest with you.
Well, one, you and I will be dead before like the ultimate shit thrill happened, because like we already are at a point where homeboy at home can do a deep fake video of like one of our YouTubes if he fucking goddamn well pleased and do whatever he wants with it. And it's going to be my voice ran against an audio thing 1,000 fucking times. And it's going to go, yeah, that's you. And it's going to look just like me. And you may hope that there is one fraction of a glimpse, or somebody's got some AI software that can scan it. Because the amount of data that an analytical AI presence can pop out on the fucking internet when someone goes / blah, 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 real quick for whatever they wanted. And it's just mind blowing. Like at this point, unless you physically met the person, you should truly never believe that the other person you are communicating with is real. Mm-hmm. That is phone, that is video, that is email, that is any form of communication, unless you can fucking touch them. And then even probably in about 20 years from now, you're going to go, oh, your body temperature is almost right. You fucking barely had me. Oh, man. Because that is what it's going to be. And until everyone like realizes that being anonymous on the internet isn't really the end all be all, because the internet is going to make you anonymous. Like the shit is becoming so smart with everything that we interact with, not even talking about like, oh, fucking Skynet bullshit. Like you're just not going to know anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's, so you are now anonymous. You do not know what is right, what is wrong, what is real, what is fake. So you are just a blank voice screaming along with everything else. So,
right.
Like, really, personally, to me, like, Twitter and Instagram and all that shit should be no comments. Fuck you. If you want to follow them, follow them. But your opinions at this point can only be entered in your shit, not a message to them, or like I replied to their tweet and copied it and now I'm kind of hidden through a little layer of fucking clicks. Nah, you got some shit to say, tag that motherfucker, put it right there in your shit, and then be done with it.
Yep. Anyways, that's our soapbox. I just wanted to put it out there because it's bullshit and there's not that much more to talk about. I mean, we have Zemo, who Bucky helps break out of prison where he's being held, a little bit too easy, but I realize there's only 6 episodes and we don't have time for an entire like prison escape show. So it was they did the old, I'm gonna tell Sam about it as we're seeing it happen, and it's gonna already be done, which is, I'm fine with that. There were parts of that I didn't quite, they were a little bit like, wait a second, how did he do that? And then, you know, that wasn't a big deal, but we got to see Sharon Carter again this episode when they went to Madripoor, and she let Sam know, hey, you guys are living a nice life right now, but I still can't go back to the States, and I still can't call my family, and if anybody knew that I was here or I traveled to a country that has extradition, I am still wanted. And Sam was like, well, shit, someone actually does have it worse than me right now. So...
Yeah, that's weird that
they didn't pardon her. Yeah.
Well, it's just weird that there wasn't a universal pardon, right? Like everybody wanted everybody back. The Avengers accomplished it with the help of, and it's very, very clear who these people were. It's not like, was it that guy at the grocery store or was it the one down there? No, it's like it was her in one of these crazy agencies that everyone knows now. So why isn't she just allowed back home.
Yeah, that's a little bit of a, you know, possibly just, it just helped build this story. And part of me thinks she's for sure working for the power broker if she's not the power broker.
I personally think she is the power broker at this point. Because they were like, man, he's just new to town, kind of showing the fuck up. And she already just was moving in and out of the, like, even just like in the shipyard, right? But just kind of everywhere as if, like, I know where the pieces are going to kind of be.
Right.
You know, because these are my guys. Or they're from some dude that works for me that doesn't know I'm the power broker, right? Like, no one knows who my face is.
Right. I mean, Zemo said he when he was referring to the power broker, but it, like you said, it may be one of those faces, maybe one of those people that no one ever sees. They just get communications from. But once again, depending on how long Zemo's been in jail, how long she's been in Madripoor, if she is a power broker, like, he may have been around for a lot longer. Maybe it's one of those Dread Pirate Roberts things from Princess Bride, where, like, one dude was and she was under him, and then he realized that she had a knack for it and he wanted to retire, so he brought her in and made her the, and then he retired.
Yeah, but wasn't, you know, even Zemo, like, I mean, he didn't, he's never met the power broker, never.
I don't know if he's, he did know of him before they walked into that bar. So he knew the power broker was in Madripoor. So whether that's from his earlier dealings, then that's fine. Somebody mentions, he goes, I'm not here to see the power broker. I'm here to see Shelby, Selby, whatever her name was. Whatever. Well, I was trying to pay attention to her name. Then she got shot and I was like, oop, don't care anymore. Like, she's done.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I do have that feeling, especially, you know, when you get in first, when we see you in your really, really nice uptown apartment, and then we see you, like, with your driver, you know, that picks you up from the storage area where you got in all the fights and the explosions and shit. So, you know, she's definitely not living in a 500 square foot flat in Madripoor. She's doing okay for herself there.
Yeah, but I don't trust TV rooms, man. Right? Because, like, even the poorest person in television in, like, the area that they're at or whatever, right? New Girl, California. They all somehow lived in a gigantic fucking studio lot. I know there was, like, split between four people or whatever. That shit was still, like, $20,000 rent, like, a fucking month, you know?
Right.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, I don't think, I will not judge her being, like, in a nice room as a sign of, like, quote unquote doing well. I mean, I truly believe she is, but quite honestly, that could just be like Hotel Artemis, right? Like, you just, everybody kind of fluctuates and moves in and out, and it was like, yo, change your shit, because then they left again. So yeah. I don't know. It was just like, this is close or whatever, but I wouldn't be surprised if she dons a fucking mask and it's like, I'm not going home, but I'm also not a bad guy. Right, like,
right.
Dudes like Zemo aren't gonna be building fucking super soldier doomsday devices over here. But if people want to ship some guns for war through this shit or whatever, so be it. Like, that's the cost of business in the world, right? You know, but I could see her, like you said, Zorro-esque kind of thing, whatever, like, it gets passed down and she changes the rules of the place kind of thing, right?
Right.
Like, hey, this is for all the excommunicados that can't go home, but your trade-off is you don't get extradited from here, but you gotta be, like, a good person or we will kill you, you know, kind of thing, right? Those are your options.
Right, right. Yeah, so that's most of the episode, I believe. One thing I wanted to bring up that you talked about or that you mentioned offhand in our reaction video is that one of the writers for this is Derek Kolstad, who also wrote all the John Wicks, which is why when that alert went out, you were like, man, that's like John Wick. I was like, yeah, a lot of the whole episode feels a little John Wicky to me. You know? So it was written by the writer of the movie. So that's pretty awesome.
Okay. That makes a little more sense. Yeah. Definitely all of the quickly moving, like, not fighting, but, like, we're doing stuff on the go, like, that was all, like, just frantic fever pitch, next step, next step, next step, next step, mm-hmm. you know, even though there was a lot of dialogue going on. Like, it was basically John Wick if he had someone to talk to, like, or if Halle Berry was there with him the whole movie.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I did enjoy the fight scenes. They were also in that same style. I would kind of feel, I think their new thing in Hollywood, and they did it in John Wick, and they're doing it here, is CGI knives. So when people are grabbing knives, they're just making the motion and doing what they're going to do with it. And some dude in post just drops a little knife in there.
They're probably like, at least great. Doing it with a green stick. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're, or like, not
at
just
least the handle.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. No, it's the handle. And then there's like a fake blade coming out, because there's no way you can have those kind of knife fights without the contact from, they're just not going to know when to stop at that fucking speed. Right. It's going to be like, oh, perfect movement. Right. Or, and then all of a sudden, like in post, it's like, damn it. His hand went a quarter of an inch too far. Right. Like, I can't do anything now. Blade's what, gonna go right through his fucking hand? You know, so yeah, I think you're probably right. It's not even fake metal knives, you know, unless it actually needs to be stabbed and go in kind of looking knife. But yeah, it's probably just green screen sticks. And they're just like, smack, 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 going to fucking 100 miles an hour. And then they probably just throw a hilt across the room to get the flip in motion. And then they're like, John, shoulder, you know?
Right, right. The guy that you were mad because the guy took it in the forearm, like had the audacity to pull it out of his arm. Yeah, dude,
I don't give a fuck how tough you are. Unless your child is being mauled by a grizzly bear on the other side and it was throwing knives at you and adrenaline kicked in, there is no way you were taking that buoy-sized knife that got chucked at you through the forearm, whether it hit bone or not, and going, I got it, and pulling that bitch back out to continue fighting. You're hitting your knees, and then if you pull it out, you're probably flaying the rest of your arm off.
Right.
Of what small amount of flesh is still holding it on. And then you look like a skeleton, like dangling around with a piece of loose meat running everywhere as you get your ass kicked.
Yeah, right. I'd get the ground. Yeah, you'd be on your knees and I'd be peeing all over myself and I would just curl up into a ball.
If I was in the fight and was the dude that threw the knife and saw the guy got hit, I might throw up. Like, that is just a terrible spot to get hit with a knife. Like, if he eats it in the gut or the chest or something, you're like, I know there's going to be blood. I know there's going to be guts. But like, you just catch homeboy like through, I don't know, the femur in the leg, or you like snagged him right across the fucking forearm and it's just like in the meat going through and you're like, how you gonna get that out? It's gonna
which
cut.
Way you going?
It's gonna cut going either in. Way. Which way?
You going in, you going yeah. out. You gonna push it through, you gonna pull it out. Yeah, right.
Yep.
Oh man. That's like, oh, or like, what's it? I think one of the knife fights in John Wick, like he stabbed the dude in the skull, but like it didn't get through until he went like funk and like hit it into.
Yeah,
it.
He had to like pop it in again because the dude was like, I'm still dead. Functioning slightly enough, right. enough to it's be not, a threat. Yeah.
It's not in my brain. It's just in my bone. So yep. close. Anyways, that's it for episode 3. I'm afraid next week could be like that, like lull episode, even though this one had a lot of exposition and a lot of just like people sitting and talking. I have a feeling that there's going to be like a little bit of a lull next episode, and then 5 and 6 are just going to be nuts with whatever they're going to do. Maybe we'll get the shield next episode. Maybe we won't. Maybe Isaiah Bradley will take the shield. I still have money on that because I want him to. I want him and Cap to have a fight. I don't care. That's going to be great, but it's probably not going to happen. But yeah, thank everybody for tuning in. We'll be back next week for our review and discussion on episode 4. Don't forget to check us out.
What if the shield gets lost in like the multiverse? Like,
I don't know. What, I mean, like, they could. I'm not beyond Marvel showing us trailers and Bucky and Sam having the shield, and that being either A, not really a scene that you ever in the show, or B, being like the final scene in the entire show.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think the shield is going to be in anybody's hands that we want until the very last moment at well possible. And then it's like, what's a good way to get rid of it in you know, your own little kingdom you're creating over here. Because it's not like Cap's coming back, per se, right away or anything. You know, maybe I can talk Evans into it later or something, right? But
right.
What if it gets lost, you know?
What if Ayo brought another one because they're made of vibranium? What if she brought another one? They're like, yeah, it's a circle. Like, we have the specs. I brought you another one. Here, quit fucking around. Here's your shield. Like, that'd be kind of, then it'd be like a shield on shield fight.
Yeah, but it's like not the same.
Because it's not the shield.
That's what I'm saying. So right. You're like, you want the dude to win with the lesser shield, but then it's like, why do we need the other shield then?
Because at some point, like, Captain America.
That's what I'm saying, but then
he
picks it up, and now we have two shields always. It's not good. You don't want a bunch of shields. Like, you don't want a ton of Cap shields ever. You're all like super soldier bandwagon. You're like, dude, pump them up.
Bring them on.
Give them fucking shields. Let's go.
Right? All I'm saying is, if next week is a lull episode, I hope the one action scene is like Ayo whooping somebody's ass. Like, I want Wakanda fighting happening for at least 10 minutes next episode. We need to see why she's there, what she's going to do as Zemo. If it's going to be like, if it's suddenly going to become the Sam, Bucky, Zemo, Ayo, possibly Sharon, like good guy team. You know, just keep adding people as we go.
I mean, it probably will. Like, it'll all be for the greater cause, and then...
For the greater good!
Well, do you think, because, like, Zemo's basically the empty Captain America for, like, the other side. Like, you know, we just do it at all costs, whatever.
Right.
I'm wondering, is this where he gets his, like, good guy wings? Right? Like, he, like, looks at our Cap and is like, oh, man, I kind of been a dick. and, like, realize, you know what I'm saying? Or, like, whatever. Like, he's the Nazi scientist all the government hired to help build rockets, you know, after the wars and shit. We're like, yeah, right. Come on.
Okay, you're on our team now.
Yeah, like, I'm wondering, instead of him going back to jail to rot, if there's going to be the, well, she got a pardon, you know, kind of moment. And they're like, all right, well, you're now one of us kind of thing. Right?
Well, it does help having a rich guy around.
Yeah, I mean, what did he say? He was a baron. He was like, I got shit everywhere. We're fine.
Right. And his
and that would be the only
definitely old and racist.
Yes. That would definitely be the hang up, though, is like, I got money. Why would I go do that?
Right.
Right.
Like, he's just gonna vanish. Honestly, yeah. I expect him to just vanish.
I hope not, because I kinda like his character, and it would be cool if he like put the mask on and was doing like basically a Bucky thing where everybody's like, oh shit, and then he starts fucking up the bad dudes and you're like, oh shit.
Hey, the man can hold his own in a fight, that's for sure.
Yeah, dude, when he popped that mask on, like, he fucking went just big dick energy like all over the place. He was like, I got it. Don't worry about this.
Dude, that sums it up so perfectly. It's like that mask is just straight up big dick energy.
He did, dude. He like put it on and you watched the power up happen. It was like, this T thinks.
Did you just grow?
So if you took two mirror shots of him, one in the mirror without the mask on, he'd be like, I mean, I'm rich. I'm cool. Like, I got it going on. Mirror shot with the fucking mask on. He's like, yo, what's up, people? I am the best. Let's go. I love you. Fuck you. Let's roll. Like, it is a whole switch.
That is true. So, yeah. So, that's it. We'll see what happens next week. Thank you, everybody, for watching. TwoDadsView.com. TwoDadsReact on YouTube. Have a good time. Watch us. Listen to us. We're sorry that we don't look the way you think we do after hearing us for 3 or 4 years straight.
Yeah, leave your anonymous comments of hate. Looking forward to it.
Love them. Bring them on. All right. See you next week.